Welcome to another episode of the Wombs of the Dream. We are back this week after having a week off last week due to me having COVID. Not being in a great state. Still ain't now. As people might be able to hear, my chest is absolutely
brilliant. You look brilliant.
Thing is, I actually look quite good, but yeah, my chest is in bits. To be fair, yeah, my chest is in bits. So some people might hear some coughing or me go on mute. It's because I'm coughing my guts up. But I'll be joined by Danny Baker tonight, and we'll be going through a number of subjects regarding Wimbledon, the recent run of form, Joe Palmer, he's now left. We're going to discuss that. We'll discuss our football 101s, what drives us mad about football in general, and then we'll preview the massive game on Saturday at Lincoln. So, Danny, how are we? How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. You all right, yeah?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Last week, I was like, oh, my God, he's got that. And then, now, obviously, hearing you. But no, it's right. I've got an interesting one. For some reason, there's a couple of the fans out there who like our random starts of our podcast.
Yeah.
I want to talk about gardening. Now, Mrs. Baker, I'm obviously working. Little Dolly's at home with Mrs. Baker. I've come home and all of a sudden the garden's being done. So my question is, what are you at with a garden? Is that the bloke's job? I know it's 21st century and all. Is it the bloke's job? Is it a girl's job? Is it no one's job? Where do we sit in the garden?
Just get AstroTurf.
What do you prefer, AstroTurf or grass? I don't know. I've never smoked AstroTurf.
AstroTurf.
That's my favourite ever.
I hate my garden. But the thing is, we've got a really small garden. It's got enough for a trampoline in a little sandpit. It's not big.
25
Our next door neighbour's garden is overgrown, like really badly overgrown. Like it comes all into our garden. So any of the seeds from his weeds or anything just blow into our garden and then we get loads of weeds. So I've been out there loads of times getting rid of all the weeds and then literally within 3 months, they're back again. I hate gardening. I think it's pointless.
Mate, I can't. I'm not big on it. I mean, Hannah will go, can you go and do the weeding? And I'm like, oh, mate, leave it out. I've got absolutely no interest at all.
The only good thing about gardening, if I had a massive garden, I would have a sit-on lawnmower.
Well, like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, you know, one of the big sit-on ones. And then just put your music on or put the One Was Had a Dream podcast in and then just go up and down on the lawnmower. And then she thinks I'm busy. Everyone's at me.
Mate, I've always wanted the idea of like a hammock, but the thought of getting in a hammock and getting out of a hammock, you sit on I'm a Celebrity, it looks horrendous. I love the idea of it, but I was like, oh, no, that's never going to happen. So
you make some good money out of, what's it called, where you put your videos in.
That's true. Yeah,
Jeremy Beadle.
That's true. Beadle's about. But,
250 yeah,
so
quid.
Literally, been at work every time I've been coming home, and all of a sudden our garden's being done with all sorts of madness. So yeah, like I said, it's been a bit of a mad one with the gardening. And I was hoping that we can talk a bit more positive about the club, and we kind of are and kind of not really. So yeah.
Well, we start. Wigan, Doncaster.
Doncaster.
We didn't speak about Doncaster,
wasn't it? And
we seem to
have gained. We were. It was that game where we went 2-0 up and we totally bottled it, like totally bottled it. Could have lost it, could have won it. Walked away from it thinking, we've missed a massive opportunity here. Thinking, we've got Plymouth and Wigan, we're not going to get a point out of them. And we didn't. And we never looked like it at the point either.
Problem is, we didn't lay a glove on either Wigan and Plymouth. And I know Wigan are like second in the league, but I watched the game and I thought Wigan were awful. I didn't think they were
great,
good.
They were
missing a couple of big players. But we didn't lay a glove on them. And then Plymouth, again, I don't think Plymouth got out of second gear. Do you know what I mean? Everyone goes, oh, yeah, we had that chance where Cosgrove hits the post, which would have been easier to score. But they didn't get out of second. Once they went 1-0 up, that was it. It was all over. But Doncaster's the big one. Like, you go 2-0 up against a team that is down there with you and you can stretch it a little bit, put them under a lot of pressure. To let them get back into the game the way we did, it was just typical Wimbledon, as we are at the moment. And
totally devoid of confidence, wasn't it? Absolutely scandalous. We kind of were in charge of the game, dominating the game. It was a bit of game management and and that was that. And we just kind of absolutely fell apart. And I don't really know, when I looked at it, like just really, really basic errors, like wow errors. I don't know if it's confidence, quality, I don't know. But the actual goals, you just look back and think, oh, how avoidable. How avoidable. And obviously Nightingale at the end with a header. It's just like, bear in mind, we should have conceded at the other end. I just felt the energy when you walked out of that game was everyone was properly deflated.
But what's the saying, Danny? You keep doing the same things And it's madness. What's the saying? Madness that you keep doing the same things over and over again
and expecting different results.
We're doing the same things over and over again. Like we said about we needed numbers when we had all them games coming up and we needed numbers. There's no Thomas anywhere to be seen.
No.
It's like pointless. What's his name's injured again? Presley.
Presley.
Do you know what I mean? Lawrence ain't nowhere near to be fit at the moment. And we're just running out of games to get people fit to play. Like Mabudi got dropped again after the Gillingham game when, what's his name? Robbo had a right hissy fit with him for talking to his mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't get it. And the question I keep getting, I keep seeing, is why is Robbo so like untouchable? Why is no one quite like, I say to you now, are you Robbo in or Robbo out? I'm guessing you're going to say Robbo in, which a lot of people are.
I'm Robbo in, yeah.
But we haven't won in, what, 16 games? A lot of these games we don't look like winning, don't look like scoring, don't look like even having a shot.
Yep.
So why is it it's not questionable that Robbo is still in a job?
I think it is. I think it massively is. I think anyone who doesn't think that the case is a bit deluded. But I just, in my head right now, what has happened has not been good enough. I personally just feel that what we're trying to do is something different. It is a bit of a slow burn and definitely not the case. I just, in my heart of hearts, feel that the footballers that we've got in terms of the players, had we had any other year's loans, we would be absolutely fine. But we've had such a shocker, a Dan shocker, the loans, that I feel that that is, for me, the extenuating factor. Now, whether you're in the camp of, well, Robbo's a manager or the head coach, he is solely responsible. I know we're going to come to the Palmer thing, but I'll be amazed if the recruitment hasn't been part of the conversation around Palmer. I know we're going to come to it, so I don't want to jump on it too
much. I just think, like, we've said it previously, that there's no experience within the management team, which I think is a massive thing with regards to why we keep losing games and not changing different things. There's no one there who's going to say, look, Robbo, let's do this. I just find us very arrogant with regards to our management team and everything regards to how we do stuff. It's kind of arrogance that we are going to get out of it. We are going to start picking up points where we don't look like we're going to pick up any points at the moment. I can't, do you know what I mean? And it's the talk. I saw the interview with Lee Brown, which I thought was brilliant. But again, it's the same talking. Hennigan said it a couple of weeks earlier at Bolton. And we're still in the same situation, is that we're not even having shots. And
I mean, for me, Lee, I just feel like the management and the way that we've set up, there's two very, very different styles. I was talking to a lot of the guys at work about it, who obviously do a lot of academy rugby and football and all sorts. And it's like, you've got the academy route, which obviously Robbo's very passionate about, Pierce's, Tuvi, which is about culture, is about process, is about doing the right things regularly and the results will come. And then you've got first 11 football, which, to be blunt, no one gives a monkey's about. You want to win. Now, I get totally and utterly that there is a link between the two. I've got no doubt about that. There's a link in terms of long-term culture, how you do things, the little extra bit will lead to that end result. I've got no problem with that. The thing I have with it, Lee, is that we've got six guys who are on loan who are not going to buy into the culture because we're not going to see them anymore. And for me, if you're wanting to develop young players, we don't give a monkeys about young players at Brentford, Chelsea, Fulham, etc. The only young players we should be bothered about are Wimbledon players. The best people for Wimbledon players to learn from are experienced players or better players from other clubs. Therefore, don't get six young guys who are all coming up and learning. Pick three experienced pros who can add some sort of value to those six, like Darius Charles is meant to be doing. Can I also mention this Salis bloke? Would it be right if I touch on this? Because I know I'm not going to lie, he hasn't overly endeared me in terms of Twitter. I've read some really
quotes. Very, very arrogant as well.
One conversation, Lee, that always comes up, and again, if he listens, fine. He always talks about the attitude. Every single person talks about arrogance. Lee Brown's spoken about, we need a reality check, all this sort of stuff. Isn't that bloke's job? Or am I going mad?
I agree. I find him really, really arrogant. The fact that he tweeted after Morecambe, he tweeted that's the domination or something like that. It's about us dominating Morecambe. And it's like, well, we drew 1-1 with a team right down there. We had a game in hand and 3 points ahead of them. Do you know what I mean? Now we haven't. And we dominated them. And then the other one was recently when he said that he reached out to managers and none of them got back to him. And now they're all out of jobs. So it's like kind of the thing that if they have messaged him more. So I get it. But you've got to understand that some managers might be so busy, so stressed that they haven't replied back to you.
Correct.
Take it on the chin. You know what I mean? Like, I don't always reply to everyone. You know what I mean? I'm very busy. You're very busy.
Always get back to me.
I think I'm not the only one who sat in that camp. There's a couple of my mates who found me, yes, just brought it up and said, this is so arrogant. That
it's weirdly, that's his job. And every single player, reality check.
Yep.
People need to man up. Surely that's a mindset. That's not what you'd physically do. Don't get me wrong, our physical football has been poor. But most of those conversations are around mental attitude or the way that we approach our football. And I kind of felt that part of our budget was going for this guy and none of them got it. But the one thing I would say, my dad said it, and my dad's listening, hello, Dad, is that he's mentioned, he said, we watched the Plymouth game. I won't lie, I fell asleep at 10 minutes in. I was absolutely... finished watching the game. He looked at me, he went, I feel like I've watched that game 10 times already this year. 10 times in the last 10. Like that game, it's almost, you could tell exactly what was going to happen in that game. We were going to hustle and bustle. We'll have a little bit of a chance. We won't score in it. They get one for a relatively simple goal, which was simple. And that was it. And then we just kind of, everything went backwards. I still don't really understand. We've got left footers we've got Rodoni on the right, who has to check back in, so he can't really cross it. The only time we've ever got a decent cross was Brown, who actually went and crossed it with his natural foot to Cosgrove. We kind of are so formulaic now, where we kind of run back. It's almost when we used to have Luke O'Neill, when a bloke would go forward, roll it back, and he'd whip it in first time, almost.
Well, that's what Shea Alexander was meant to be for, but Alexander's well off form at the moment.
I don't know where his crossing's from.
And he's just gone. He's gone right off the boil. Well, if he ever was on the boil. But my, there's one big problem I have at the moment. And I don't know if you noticed it. It was against Plymouth. It's Alex Woodyard, and Alex Woodyard's attitude. He's nowhere near a captain of Wimbledon. Shouldn't have the armband, in my opinion. And it's all because, in my opinion, I watched it against Plymouth. Hassel gets the ball out wide, and maybe he should have passed the ball to Woodyard. Woodyard's just outside the box. Could have took a touch and shot. He didn't pass the ball to Woodyard. Woodyard then is arms up in the air, turns his back on him. We still got the ball at this time. That's not a captain to me. You don't do that. And also, who is it against Wigan? Some of our fans were saying, look, it's not good enough. And he come down and started cupping his ears, going, what are you saying? And one of my mates told him to go fuck himself something else. I just don't think he's a captain in a million years. And there's people now I know who go home and away who are literally getting fed up. I'm pretty much in the camp now where I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a Wimbledon game. So sometimes I finish work early to make sure I can watch it, or I can listen to the radio, or you know what I mean, or make sure that I'm up to date with all that. I'm not going to do that anymore because the football's just not very good to watch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And this exciting young team have become a very boring, stale. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
I said to Dad the other day about it, because I was talking about away games and stuff, and Dad was like, you've not been to an away game in a while, and obviously I've had a new little one. And I just was like, do you know what, Dad? I can't justify the money, the time, the travel, but also to leave my wife at home, who's obviously going to be knackered looking after the baby all day. I can't allow her to make that sacrifice if I'm going to go up and watch the game against Plymouth or against Wigan. And I've got full respect for every Wimbledon fan. And don't get me wrong, if it was a year ago, I'd probably be joining you, but I can't commit to the point of where we've been playing at the moment. And it's unfortunately, I know Zach Robinson's come back today. Everyone's talking about him being a prodigal son. Mate, he's been on loan at Hampton and Richmond. He's not going to come in and rip it up in league.
Do you know he got on at Hampton?
No, not really. But he's come from Hampton and Richmond, and all of a sudden people are like, this boy's going to change our season. He's not going to change
the
season.
This is what my point was the other week when I said, if we go down, we're losing, there's going to be, six loanies gone back straight away.
Yeah.
There's about six players out of contract. Hennigan, Woodyard, Shea Alexander, Nesta. Right, so people might not rate them, people might rate them, but there's six of our experienced players that are going to be possibly out of contract now. So we're going to be relying on youth team players to come through. And most, as I said, other than Corey Andrews, who's playing for Colchester, there's not one other player that is on loan or playing above Conference South. And we're expecting them to go, yep, you're going to be in League One if we stay in League One, or you're going to be in a League Two footballer. I just don't see, not everyone's going to be like Asau. Asau, I think we got lucky with, and he's kind of out of form now. But we're going to be reliant, we're expecting every single youth team player now to be an Asau and Radoni. You get one a season. We're expecting four or five.
But remember Radoni as well, mate. This is his second or third season. He's also a couple of years older. Asau, this is his second season. The first season was last year. This is his first proper, not his first proper, because he came in from sort of like January, February time.
Yeah.
It's a bit harsh for asking someone who's been at Leatherhead this year to turn up and them to go and then go, right, you've got to come in and now boss it. I mean, that's just never going to happen. But yeah. What's interesting, though, is Robbo has highlighted already in the conversations that he's not overly happy, or he's a bit concerned about the recruitment in terms of the quality of what's what. And I'm hoping that the club will look at it. But the games we played, the Lincoln game we'll talk about later, but it's massive. We didn't ever look like laying the glove on Plymouth and Wigan, in my opinion. We kind of huffed and puffed a little bit. As I've said before, a little bit of deja vu, lots of effort, lots of running about, and then Nightingale gets it, kicks it 35 yards ahead of anyone else, and then we start again. And then we get the ball, and it goes to someone else, and he overhits the cross. Or we go into up and toward the penalty area, pull our pants and go back to Zanev, and then he hoofs it, and then we lose possession, and then we go again. It's just kind of like, I feel like we are the easiest team to play against in the country, because we just do the same stuff again and again and again.
But Dad, that's why one of my main grievances at the moment pisses me off a lot is it's the same chat after every game. The boys have had a conversation with each other. Do you know what I mean? I'm not happy about this. I'm not happy about that. I have to have a look at this. And nothing changes. No formation change. Robbo keeps going on about, oh, we went two up front. Bullshit. We've never been two up front. Even against Plymouth, he said, oh, we changed it, went two up front. Cosgrove is just a lamppost up front at the moment. He's just a big stick, big head on a stick.
Genuinely, though, Lee, how can you genuinely have an opinion on Cosgrove when he genuinely doesn't ever get the ball, like, ever?
Yeah, but he doesn't run after the ball, Danny. He don't put anyone under pressure. At least Ollie Palmer, wasn't the biggest fan of Ollie Palmer, because, again, I didn't like his... But at least he chased things down.
I mean, I'm not being funny, though, but he's had, apart from one cross, he is literally feeding off crap, and he has to chase it all day. Not saying he's not ideal, because I don't think he is, far from it, but for the quality of service that he's been given, for the way that we're playing, I'm not surprised that he hasn't exactly set the world alight.
You know, Birmingham paid £2 million for him.
Yeah. I also heard that Swindon, Strosby had him on loan, he was pathetic, and wanted to send him home as soon as possible.
I'm not overly keen on him.
I also heard, Lee, by the way, there was a 6-man recruitment committee who put him top of the list.
We'll move on to the recruitment committee in a minute when we speak about our esteemed CEO gone. But yeah, the last three games, I think your dad's got it spot on, really. We've seen this, the way we played, 10 times this season? And it's becoming every frequent.
We're still not in the bottom four.
Oh, mate. I mean, this league's a joke. They should just relegate six teams.
Honestly, this is the first time I think I'm ever going to see that whoever in the bottom four, none of them are going to get anywhere near coming back. None of them. They are poor. Every one of these four are pony.
But then did you see Morecambe the other day? He should have had a penalty against whoever they played, Bolton.
Bolton.
It was, what's his name? He used to play for us, the winger, Connolly. The Irish geezer, Connolly. He got absolutely taken out.
He bungled one against Peterborough for us, didn't he? Do you remember?
But
I liked him as well, you know. I thought
Connolly, I liked him, but then he didn't suit our formation. If you're going to play 3-5-2, he ain't a win-back.
It'll be interesting to see how we go about it. I'm obviously feeling much more chipper. I've kind of made my peace with Wimbledon this year now. I've kind of made my peace in the fact that I'm not overly impressed with the team. I know we've got challenges. I don't want to get relegated, far from it, but I desperately don't want to have another season like this. And if they said to me, look, you can stay up, but you'll do it again next year, I'd rather not bother.
Put a post out the other day, and literally last five seasons, it's been like this.
I'm okay with getting... We've had a nice little punt here, and it's been lovely going to some nice grounds and celebrating one win in five, and isn't it wonderful? But this, I don't really want to continue.
If we go down, we've got to keep the same budget, though, and we've got to change our philosophy and our processes a little bit in the fact that we can't go into League Two relying on youth and no experience, because we'd get absolutely eaten alive in League Two. It is just big, ugly players. Do you know what I mean? And you watch, if you've seen a few League Two games, they're not, it's not great. It's big, ugly men who kick lumps out of you. And our boys, I really worry if we go down, do we do a Southend and go down again? But
well, I can't see if we get relegated. Rochdale this year, they're not exactly just pulling up trees. I can't see us getting relegated and not. I can see us being relegated and we'll end up being Leighton Orient or Crawley. We'll just end up middle-ish table. We'll have a little flirt for three or four games and drop down a couple of bits.
We could do a Northampton. Look, Pinnock's smashing it in League Two.
I know.
They're going to go up and down.
But I don't know.
Anyway, let's move on, because we'll discuss more detail regarding with regards to Joe Palmer leaving. Do we, what's it called, clear the swamp? And maybe we'll discuss the management team and stuff like that as well.
I want to hear more about clearing the swamp. Let's hear the swamp.
We'll come back in a minute and we'll talk about clearing the swamp.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the departure of our CEO, Joe Palmer, who has recently left. Again, this was something we were going to discuss last week, but unfortunately we didn't have an episode. Joe Palmer's gone, Dan. Are you happy about that? Sad about that? Don't really care about it?
It's a tricky one because obviously, you know, he brought us home more or less. So I've got a lot of respect for the fact that he was involved with the club and was very, very much involved with doing that, which I think is an awesome achievement. I do, however, feel that there was a lot of shortcomings that he potentially had at our level. And I feel like his experience from Shakhtar Donetsk and obviously coming to us, I can't lie, I did kind of smell a rat, if I'm honest, in terms of you don't go and work at a Champions League, potentially quarterfinals team regularly, and all of a sudden end up in a relatively homeless League One football club without there being something on the off. I just didn't find him very personable and I didn't get much from him. And I feel that ultimately, whether it's right or not, I feel that the run of results and the poor recruitment, whether that was enough for him to go, I've had enough. I personally think he's been given a nudge of some sort.
I think he's walked before he was pushed, or he's jumped before he was pushed.
Has he got another job?
Yeah, apparently he has. That's what came out on the press release when they said he's going to do other stuff. But I think if you look at this season, there's been so many, especially with fans being back at Plough Lane, there's been so many fuck-ups and so many mistakes with regards to the bars, the ticketing. The ticketing fiasco was a massive joke.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Do you know what I mean? Like not being able to sell the benches properly and stuff like that. Which I blame him for. The recruitment process has been an absolute joke and it's been an absolute disaster this season. Why have we got a CEO of our football club in regards with no football knowledge at all, other than being like, you might as well get me and you on it. You know what I mean? I'd have told him Cosgrove's a lamppost. Do you know what I mean? And then, I think that's been an absolute joke. Same as you, I don't find him very personable. I found him to be a bit of a weasel, who got him and his little minions together to kind of try and support what he was doing. Everything I've heard about the guy has not been overly, people are not overly singing his praises. Do you know what I mean? There's all the stuff regarding Wally leaving and stuff like that and how that happened and how that came about. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, if you ask Wally Downs about him, I don't think he'd be too favourable.
I mean, it's difficult because obviously we're relatively outside the box, if you like. And obviously when he came in, I think a lot of us thought, wow, this is a decent appointment. And I ultimately, when he looks back at the reign, he'll go, well, I brought AFC Wimbledon back to their ground and they're in League Two, One, and they stayed there. And he dealt with the COVID situation that I don't think he'll struggle getting another gig somewhere. I didn't feel like, oh, wow, he's gone. This is a terrible shame. I haven't really got that. And ultimately I feel that a lot of the challenge that we faced, whether he's responsible entirely for the playing budget or not. And it's just a weird one that, like, there's so many people who've got a very limited opinion of him. that's quite interesting for me. Normally people would come out defending him, and you know, I'm sure if I knew more about it, I'd have a much more sensible opinion. But ultimately, I wish him well. He got us home, which is lovely. But I think we are as a club. And I did say this, as I said to you just before I came on, I did say when Charlie Talbot was on that we're in a bit of a, in my opinion, we're in a little bit of a civil war as a fan base. And I feel that Joe Palmer has literally legged it from the front line in terms of he had an opportunity to go, no, I'm bringing everyone together. I'm the CEO and I'm going to pull everyone in. And he's decided to go, no, thanks. I can see the horizon. I'm off. And I feel like now we are right in the middle of a big, big fan disconnect. And I know football fans are known for not getting on and not agreeing, but I've never seen the social medias, the conversations I've got on my WhatsApps and you and other things on the Twitters, that it's been so different and so polarizing. I found it very, very interesting.
Well, that's why I said I think we need to kind of drain the swamp now. We need to look at who else is within the club. There's always leaks coming out regarding who we're signing and stuff like that, who's leaking all the information all the time, who was close to Joe Palmer that was slagging. I know loads of, I don't want to say too much because I know of a couple of people who slag off the club left, right and centre, but then two in the broad daylight of things, they're all, oh, the club's brilliant and the club's fantastic, but behind the scenes, they're slagging everyone off, which I don't like that. You know what I mean? We say it how it is. That's how I've always been. I'll say it how it is. People know if it's good or not. You know what I mean? I'm very fickle. I've said that before, but I've never said that. I've never took the piss out of someone behind their back and not told them to their face. And that's where I get really pissed off with the club at the moment. And that's where I got pissed off with Joe Palmer, is that it seems to be one thing said behind the scenes, all nicely nice, and then, yeah, to other people, they're slagging each other off. So, do you get what I mean?
More importantly, Joe's gone. And again, I know where we are, and we pride ourselves on this podcast about being basically the basic fans from the pub. Yep. What do we want? He's gone. What are we looking for? What do we actually, what would we, if someone from the Don's Trust was listening now, what do we want?
Well, I think it's such a hard job to be a CEO, right? And this might contradict what I said about Joe, but when you got the Don's Trust board underneath, and it's, who runs the show? Who's running the show? Is it the CEO who's running the show, or do they have to put everything through the Don's Trust board for it to be voted in? Do we need a CEO if that's the case, if it's the Don's Trust board that could be running it? But then we've got to remember that the Don's Trust board are a bunch of volunteers that are offering their time. They need to get a bit of a backbone and a bit of thicker skin, because, again, I've seen it on, as you said, on socials. Some things are said on socials which blows my mind. It goes a little bit too far. But if you're on the Don's Trust board and you're taking it personally, I think if you're on the Don's Trust board, you shouldn't be on social media, because there should be a way of someone reaching out to say, look, Charlie, look, Michelle, I'm upset with this. Not have people reply on social media. Do you know what I mean? There's loads of trolls on social media.
But shouldn't they be on there to read? Shouldn't they be on there just to read without replying?
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. But then you see them, they're always replying. And it's like, I took homage to one of the, is it homage? I took, what's the word?
It's homage. You paid homage. Yeah. Homage in the swamp.
There was someone on there the other day, Misha, who wrote a comment going back saying, oh, we, like, these people don't volunteer, and then people moaning. It's like, well, if you don't volunteer, what does that mean? You can't have a moan now. You can't be pissed off with the situation at 16 games without a win. Do you know what I mean? And then she came back and said, well, no, it's actually some of the personal comments, which I kind of get, but just don't read it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because it's an AFC Wimbledon fans group. A lot of these pages are fans' pages. As long as it don't turn to personal abuse, right, people are entitled to say this is shit, because it is at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Joe Palmer's done a runner just before, 10 games left to go, when we're in a big relegation scrap.
Yeah.
And he's gone, nah, this ain't for me now. I'm off. Which I thought, again, I was calling for him to leave.
Pants.
But the time,
really, pants. He could have announced he's going to the end of the year, and then no one would have batted an eyelid. But to run away after being 16 games without a win, which is why I feel like someone's given him a nudge and said, right, no, okay, we can't get rid of the... Or maybe we've got it wrong and Joe Palmer was going and said, right, we need to change what we're doing, the philosophy and everything else, because otherwise we're not doing it. And Robbo and the board have gone, no, this is what we're doing and we're sticking with it. And he's gone, okay, do you know what? I can't watch you keep doing this and I'm off. I mean, we won't know, but maybe it's that. Maybe he was the one who wanted to change the culture, the recruitment policies and everything else. And he got outvoted.
Where do you want us to go from here, Dan?
I personally would like someone who I generally felt with Joe Palmer that it was like him and us, and we've always been quite close. I would like someone who I feel like we as a club can kind of identify a bit with. I never felt like I could identify with Joe Palmer. And I think that it's also one of the things that people talk a lot about, that where I don't even think we need somebody from football. And the reason why I say that is that Joe Palmer is coming from a different football. We're totally different. We're a different entity. And I wonder whether someone coming in from a completely different entity would do us good, or do it on the other side of things. Do we need a proper football guy to come in and go, no. If you want to be successful in football, you need X, Y, and Z. But I'm not sure. Personally, I feel that if we're going to carry on with the same kind of attitude and cultures, that we need somebody who's totally, we basically need a Robbo as a CEO. We need someone who's totally entrenched with what we're doing, totally gets it, and can learn about the football side of stuff, as opposed to having a real shrewd CEO and get us out of it. In my opinion, I feel we need to do the first, not the second.
So I think we need a football person now, someone who actually gets football. I don't think Joe understood football. I think he was from a marketing background and his marketing was decent. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of stuff was okay. But again, with the recruitment this year, we've got people, I believe, sitting on a committee that have no football background. They're trying to play money ball with Poundland budget. And that's why we're looking at the loans and stuff like that and thinking, who are these kids? Like, these kids, they're not good enough. And they're taking a little bit of stick, where we actually need someone in the job now who goes, actually, no, that Presley's not going to be good enough yet. Do you know what I mean? He's a loan before he comes on loan to us, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? I just think we need someone with football.
We're getting close to getting away from the old boy Wimbledon club in terms of the Yardley, Downs, Hodges, Robinson, Woodyard managing us, whoever you like. Do you think we're getting to a point now where, as a fan base and as a committee, we're like, do you know what? We're going to give this a roll and we're going to give it a go. And after that, if it don't work, we're scrapping the whole ex-player, the romantic link. Because let's be blunt, and we all love Robbo. If it wasn't Robbo managing, we would be talking about a new manager now. Or we'd be talking about who are we going to get.
And also,
whether that's to the strength of us or to the weakness of us, I don't know. But
why do we have to
get close to the Wimbledon old boys club? And don't we love Wimbledon players coming back and supporting us, whether we're about to finish? If Robbo doesn't kick off, whether we're going to get rid of that and start afresh?
I don't know, because it feels like it's an old boys club with the way the Don's Trust run. You know what I mean? You have to be a Don's Trust member to get any vote. And do you know what I mean? And Jonesy was very good with what he said regarding that every fan should be listened to. But with regards to the pros, why does Robbo, Tuvi, the other kid, I can't remember, they're all kids, all Pierce, they're all young kids. Why do they have to stay to keep the process going? Can we not go with the process that we've got now? But we don't need the management in to follow that process, do we? We need a process as a club. And if Robbo was to go, say Robbo was doing extremely well, we were sitting second in the league and Leeds came in for him.
And he goes,
what? Do we then go, oh no, we haven't got a process anymore because Robbo's gone? It's the same as we are dog shit at the moment. So if Robbo was to resign or to be sacked, we can still continue that process. Yeah. And that's where I think we're getting a little bit short-sighted in that Robbo has to be the one that takes us forward to do this process because it's his. Well, no, it should be a club philosophy. It should be a club process.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier, it's part of the youth team. I get it. But at the end of the day, you need points on the ball when you're managing first team football.
I hate to say it. It's one of the better things I've ever heard you say that. I think that but I'm being serious though. We kind of feel like the integral person or the integral part of the process is Robbo, when actually it shouldn't be Robbo. Robbo should be a facilitator of a club process or as a whole process. But for some reason, rightly for me at the minute, we've kind of put it on Robbo being that man. But at the same time, surely we're going to get to a point where it could be Dennis Wise. And again, I'm not talking about an old boy, but like someone like a Luke Garrard, or it could be any bloody manager, to be honest, who could come in a Kenny Jacket and go, right, this is the way we're going. Are you backing us? Yes. Because I'm sure if Robbo went, we'd get a lot of applicants. And out of that applicant, you'd get three or four who would go, this is the process I want to go, and it'll marry up. So it'll be interesting. I'm still going. I still believe that, regardless of the situation, I feel there's enough extenuating circumstances to give him a little bit of slack. But what I would say is that if it was any other manager, he would have gone by now. And that faith might run out on Saturday, I feel.
The problem we got at the moment as well, Danny, is that we were chasing a budget that we shouldn't have done, really. We put, £1 million from the ground into the budget. I think Eric took £1 million out of the budget for the ground. Sure. And that went into the playing budget. Do you know what I mean? So then that left us with a higher budget than we probably could afford, especially when the plough lane came about. We then had Ardley had to go, but then we had a process change when Wally came in, and we had Nick Dawes was there to do the recruitment, and he was putting this brilliant database together. And then as soon as Wally got sacked, that just seemed to go out the window. Like, where is that database? Is that database still being used? Now we've got Will Daniels, who, no disrespect to Will Daniels, he works for a betting company. He does this, I'm guessing, part-time, because he must work as well. We ain't going to be paying that much. I'd love to know who is on the football committee. I'd love to go and have a look at it and see what we're actually looking at. Are we playing Moneyball, but like with Poundland cash? Because we're really going to struggle with that. I think, where do we recruit from? Where do we scout from? Are our scouts going out and say, looking at the Northern Irish League, the Scottish League, or are we looking at, like, why has Sutton just made the Johnson Paint Trophy final and sitting fourth in League Two, and they've got a worse budget than us?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in League Two. I'm happy to be 20th in League One. But how are these teams picking up these good pros and we get crappy little loans? Do you know what I mean? The same thing I always get told, our budget is because people don't want to move to Wimbledon because it's so expensive to live in. But Sutton's only down the road and they're doing all right. They've got players who seem to like to live in the local area.
And also, if you are playing at Wimbledon, you're training, you're 5 minutes off the A3. You can live in Portsmouth. You can live in Havant.
That's apparently where McCormick lives.
Oh, is it?
That's a rumour, yeah, that he lives that way, that Havant way. Do you know what I mean? But, yeah, again, I agree with what you're saying. Wimbledon is expensive to live in. Don't get me wrong, it's really expensive. And if you're a footballer, you're going to choose to live in Accrington or you're going to choose to live in Wimbledon, you probably go to Acton. You're going to have more money at the end of it. You'd probably be on less wages, but the cost of living is going to be less. But don't tell me that the budget is all... I hate the excuse of the budget all the time. And it really annoys me because there's teams around local areas that are doing all right with worse budgets than we've got.
As I said, we're very opposite on that, and I feel that the budget is one of the bigger reasons. But what I would say is that the budget, and I saw someone on Twitter and Facebook the other day said it, the budget doesn't excuse the level of performance that we're getting at the minute.
Agreed.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not saying about results. I'm talking about the way that we're playing. The budget doesn't have a huge effect on that. The budget will, where we finish, I think it's got an impact. But in terms of the last 16 games, that's got nothing to do with budget. But as I said before, I do think we try hard. I think there's lots of effort and lots of running about. But wow, some of the football has been...
With a new CEO, if we get a new CEO in, we need to give someone, whoever it is, a bit of power. Do you know what I mean? And say, look, you're making these decisions. I don't want them sitting on a football committee, but I want them overseeing the football committee. Do you get what I mean? So there's someone to answer to. Because who was Joe Palmer answering to on the football committee? At the end of the day, as I said, he's left now. So is that the reason why is it the Don's Trust who said to him, look, it is absolutely appalling this year? That it's probably our worst ever transfers that we've ever had.
It's not even debatable.
And I don't think it helped. As soon as Robbo got put in charge, he was literally washing his hands with it straight away. I don't want nothing to do with the transfers.
I mean, of all the players that have come in from the summer, permanent or not, we're literally talking about two players out of 10.
Yeah.
And even the two players that we're talking about who are decent, which is Marsh and McCormick. I think McMarsh has been good. I think McCormick has been good. None of them, I don't think either have been, wow, like, oh my God, like their potential championship, absolutely, like Dobson type. No, not yet. Hopefully. We've got 10 games to go. I still can't believe we're out of the bottom four. I think it's scandalous. And as I said before, I'll put it on note. Then Palmer, thank you very much for getting us back to plough lane, and thank you very much for stepping aside. I hated the idea that you did it now, but maybe there's an opportunity for us to come up with a new plan. But whoever is going to come in, crikey, they've got a job on their hands.
No, I agree. And as I said, if we're going to keep with this process, then that's fine. It's a club process. And the management team, we should have be worried that if they have to go, tell me what other team in the land would have Robbo still in charge?
None.
And also, if Robbo's listening to this, Robbo, please, please stay off Twitter, stay off social media, stop replying to our fans. I don't know if you've seen it, Dan.
No.
A couple of our fans, one of them put, has the Baldy tour guide left yet? Just on his own Twitter. He didn't tag Robbo in it. It was just on his own Twitter. Well, Robbo replied to him.
No. Did he really? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't do that.
And there was another guy.
What did he say, Robbo?
I don't know. I've not seen it. I've just heard about it. Only briefly. I haven't read it all, but yeah. And he got invited. What annoyed me. He got invited to the training ground to see what they will do. I thought it was just us. Do you know what I mean? Robbo's inviting everyone down here.
Well, that's good.
But just get off
birthday treat.
Get off social media. Like at any other club now, you'd be getting absolutely ripped to pieces. Like proper abused. The fans are brilliant on a Saturday. They're brilliant on a Tuesday. We're just pissed off with the football. But yeah, anyway, should we move on?
Please.
We'll move on, and when we come back, we'll discuss our football 101s.
Yeah.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing our football 101s, things that really annoy us about football in general, not just Wimbledon, because we could be here all night if it was just Wimbledon. But yeah, football 101s, Dan, you're going to start us off?
I'll give you some context. I was up at the other night about 1:30 in the morning. It might be 2:30. I never know the time. It's a waste of time even thinking about what time it is with Bubby. But Room 101 came on with Frank Skinner. And I absolutely love Frank Skinner and I love the show. So I was sitting around thinking, I wonder what my football 101s are. And obviously, we've been pretty miserable and moody. So I thought what would be interesting is us to like name the things that annoy us the most about football. So the first one, which is obvious, is Gillingham's away end. Gillingham's away end is absolutely crap. Like, if I had to chuck away any football experience watching a game, if anyone's been to Gillingham away and can tell me they've been to a worse ground in the Football League and had a more terrifying experience and high winds on a scaffold, let me know. So I've done Gillingham away is definitely right up there on my
way. How are they still allowed to cope with that?
I don't know. Just do like, you know what I mean? It's literally like they just someone's built it and gone. I'm sure I've forgotten something. I mustn't have done. Yeah, mate, you've got the roof. Yeah.
Storm Eunice or whatever it was come, I thought, that'd just take that out. But
so it's I've still got standing. Loads here. I'll give you a couple more and then I'll pass over. Players who wear gloves and short sleeves, like. Don't get it. Particularly fullbacks, you've got to take a throw in. That stuff drives me mad. The bloke with the towel at West Brom, who constantly, any long throw, Darnell Furlong does a long throw, there's some bloke who randomly gives a towel to the player to wipe it down. Like, what happened to the old shirt? Do you remember when you put the ball in the shirt? Like, Vinny used to love it. It was like he's having a shower with the ball.
Yeah, it is.
So, I miss that massively. And the other thing that drives me mad, before I'm going to pass over, I've got loads. I hate the ear thing. Like, Lee Gregory did it this year. He scores at Wimbledon's end. We've not said a word to him. He scored ahead of and he's starting giving it the ear to the fans. It's like, mate, we haven't said anything. What are you doing? Like, football celebrations as a whole, if it's not a knee slide, it's a cupping of the ear. Like, come on, be more, give me some creativity. But they're my first three, Lee. Give us some.
Well, one that really, really annoys me is goalkeepers just take free kicks from any point they want to. So there'll be a free kick right in the corner. They'll take it about 10 yards away from where it actually happened. The lino will just go, yeah, go on. And then they run off. And it's like, same with throw-ins. People can just, sometimes they can just walk up the line about 5-10 yards. It's like,
exactly.
What are you doing?
Yeah, get back.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous.
I don't know why referees are so defensive of keepers either. Like, it's mental. If you jump up and there's a header, the goalkeeper's just got to jump into your free kick. It's just too easy. Like, what are you doing? So,
but the free kick one just winds me up. Like, it'll be literally just outside the box, and then they'll take it up to the edge of the box, It's ridiculous. Celebrations. I'm with you on celebrations. Celebrations are just pants nowadays.
They used to be wicked.
Yeah, like, but that's...
bundles and stuff. And now it's literally either a knee slide, and it's like, mate, we've all done that now, or it's a cut.
You know what I really like, though, is when the geezer goes through a knee slide and it's quite hard mud.
Yeah, that's wicked.
And then he just goes over. Yeah, whacks his head on the
tough... Stacking it over.
Remember, is it a Swedish? Was it a Swedish team or something? They come up with loads of different ones where they pretended they were fishing. And
that's it. And they did like the boat sitting on the bike and stuff.
When I coached youth level, I used to say to the boys would score and they'd never celebrate. I said, what are you doing? Like, go and celebrate.
That's the pinnacle of the game.
Yeah, go do. Like, yeah, just enjoy
it. On free kicks, I've also done. Do you know when, like, a free kick's given? And whether if you're defending the free kick, you always just manage to like dribble the ball like really rubbishly or just like tap it like 5 yards away. What happened to kicking the ball away, yellow card? What happened to that?
Yep.
Like, that never happens anymore. Like, you could kick the ball miles away. You even get it in the Premier League. You physically can't get done for it now because the linesman puts his flag up. You run through and score. VAR goal. Like, what? So, like, the kicking of the ball away, it's nonsense. And the other thing I can't stand is going to an away game and there's a half-time challenge on the pitch. What was the one we watched which was crap this year? Was it Cambridge? And they had I think it was Cambridge or Port Peterborough. And they had like a skip on the pitch. And they had to chip the ball. And it was like,
into the skip.
This is rubbish. Like, half-time challenges are pathetic.
You know, when I don't... What's happened to football food? Why has it gone so hipster now that everyone's showing off like their chunky chips with
Lee,
pie? You've
got to move on.
Just give me a burger.
We need halloumi at football now.
No, I'm not having, like, we blow it out of water now. It's like ridiculous. We have like pizza. Pizza should nowhere near football.
No, I agree.
We had kebab when we first started back at Plough Lane. Like, who's having a doner kebab at football? It's like, well, Messi, you're standing there trying to eat
this
kebab.
Table for two, sir. Yeah.
No, but it's football's got so hipster. It's like football scram. There's like an actual Twitter page for it. And put like £7.50 for a burger and chips because it's it's just hipster now.
I've got a few more here, Lee, which are obvious ones. Tiny shin pads. Like, what are we doing? Like, Jack Grealish, either
Luba
wear
Cormick.
Shin pads or don't. Like,
Luba Cormick wears small ones.
Luba Cormick. Like, seriously, what happened to the Brian Robson 1990s? You put your foot in the hole, strap it up, and, like, you felt like you were going to war. Like, you know, the Ukrainians are wearing them now. It's like, get
it's
the Brian
thing,
Robson shin
it's
pads
like
on.
Grip socks.
Yeah.
Where they cut their socks and then wear a white pair of socks underneath.
Like, what happened to those? Also, I know there's loads of people on this. Can we please get rid of the drums at football matches? Do we need a drum? Can't we just clap and shout like everyone else? How? Why can we? Why is it that a man can come in with a drum, which is basically an offensive weapon, and you can't keep your bottle for your bottle of Coke? Like, what is going on? You can throw a banging drum thing, but you can't have a bottle.
To be fair, though, I've never seen a footballer score and then just get bang a drum over. You know what I mean? Where he comes at everyone.
Like a flute and a recorder.
It's like the England band. Get rid of the England band. They're wank. I hate them. But another one is also, why do footballers, why can't they just have their surnames on their shirt? Now it has to be like nicknames.
I said that. The nicknames, go away.
Yeah.
I'm not interested because your nickname is, you know, Sherry. In Ecuadorian. No, just tell me what
you got. Like old 8-inch running around. It's like, oh, what's that name all about? You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing? Oh, big dick. So what? Just, you know, it's Chikorita, mate.
Put it on. What about half and half scarves?
No, get rid, burn. And another thing, anyone who ever brings a can I have your shirt post, like, this ain't WWE. It's ridiculous, right? Grown men with their kids putting these cardboards, can I have your shirt, please? They should be banned. Year ban, they do it again, they get a life ban. Don't care how old you are. If my boy said to me, Daddy, yeah, this I've made this sign to get Luke McCormack's shirt, I'd slap him around the face. He wouldn't be coming football again.
Slap your kid around the face. I don't like the in the Premier League when players are swapping shirts at half time. Like, mate, you're playing a game of football. Do you remember that Arsenal bloke?
That's ridiculous.
I don't know who was playing Newcastle, I think it was, and he was like trying to swap the shirt at half time. It's like, mate.
They were 3-0 down at the time, weren't they?
I also hate undisclosed fees. I hate that.
Why do you hate that so much?
I hate it. I think it's rubbish. I think I want to know what the market value is of a particular player.
No, I'm not.
I want to know. I don't care about the fact, well, if you've got more money, then that player, you might have to pay for more money.
Didn't help us when John Artson, we signed John Artson for $7.5 million.
Yeah.
And then sold him to Coventry for £10,000 a week if he played.
But I just want to know how much my players are worth. No. I also am not big on the Johnston's Paint team selection criteria, where you have to have like five players from the game before.
B team shouldn't be allowed in it anyway, but I love it because Wimbledon fans boycott. They go, oh, we're going to boycott the B team game. But they went to watch Wimbledon against Liverpool under 23s. Very hypocritical, Wimbledon fans.
It's a shambles. I've got two more. People that have assumed that anyone from Brazil is going to be a good football player. And you're like, oh, but he's good. He comes from Brazil, third level. No, he's absolutely terrible.
There ain't a bad one. Name me a bad Brazilian footballer.
There are millions of bad
where? Players. What league? I've never seen a bad Brazilian
You've never
footballer.
Seen like a player in Div 3 who is a Brazilian who
no.
is
bad. No. Name me one player that's bad then, Brazilian.
What's his name? Bloke who was a left back, who was at Arsenal. Absolute terrible. Roque, who's the other bloke? Joe, who was up front. Philip, what's the bloke who was at
you're
Bolton?
Just making, you're just coming up with names.
The forward of Man City was notoriously horrendous.
Joel Linton, he plays for Newcastle.
He's better in midfield than he is up front.
Yeah.
But you've got the guy who was at Bolton. Is it Roque Jr.? He was absolute.
There's not a cool geezer called Rocker Jr. He's pretty Chilean or something. Then there's not a bad Brazilian footballer, mate.
Bolton.
Not bad. Also, you know one thing that
Go, well, he's Brazilian, therefore he must be good.
Yeah, no, that's what Will Daniels is doing currently.
Paul Daniels is doing that.
Will Daniels has got the football committee again. Brazilian, he's got to be decent. Do you know Cosgrove? They thought he was Brazilian.
Well,
didn't realise he was a lamppost.
He has a Brazilian.
Anyway, another thing I don't get is English footballers don't really play abroad unless you're on loan from Chelsea?
Because they're too expensive.
No, but none of them ever go to like the Czech Republic or...
Because they're too expensive.
No, but even ones at our level, like Luke McCall, why did Aaron Presley choose to go Wimbledon? Why didn't he go to like... I'd go to Prague. Yeah, but if you was a footballer now and they went, oh, you're going on loan, I'd be like, can I go Prague? Can I go... Like Budapest. Do you know what I mean? I just want to experience the culture. Las Palmas for a year.
The other thing that's annoying me about football, and it's a controversial one, it's unrealistic plastic fans. People who just support a club and have these heightened expectations and don't understand the full picture of football fans. It literally drives me mental.
Social media, mate, don't help.
No, it doesn't. And you're literally watching social media sometimes, and I don't comment at all. I've got no interest to comment. But you just watch and listen to what some people are doing, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Because you think back in the day, we used to just go to the Thomas Farley. Me and you would be talking absolute bollocks.
Sensible, you'll be talking nonsense.
Yeah. And then someone would go, I don't agree with you, Lee. And I say, well, I don't care if you agree with me or not. Another couple of pints. But now it's all over socials. Someone would go, oh, I think Robbo's a prick, he should leave. Boom, all the people that love Robbo are on there going, oh, I don't think he should. And then it's just ridiculous. But yeah, I agree. Like, social media.
People have an opinion about matches or anything. And they go, oh, this was crap. Did you watch it? No. Did you see anything? No. I have no context of it. Do you go to the games? No, not really. But I believe in this. And it goes back to the thing I was talking about, the Don's Trust. You've got a load of guys who don't go to matches. I've got a passing interest, but then actually have an active decision regarding what we do. I don't really get it. So anyway, anyone who's got any more wicked 101s, I've got loads at work that are interesting. Ones with like ridiculous numbers, it doesn't bother me, but like we've got Lee Brown is 50 or 55. Like, do we need that? One guy hates football shirts with no sponsor on it. He just like, it looks
no, retro. Heavy. I like that. I like retro stuff.
He did that one. One was clubs that change their badges. He hates that. He thinks that's rubbish.
Yeah, I remember Leeds. Remember when Leeds changed their badge and it was uproar?
Yeah.
Another one is stupid haircuts. Paul Pogba does my wedding. I'm going to sound like Graham Souness there.
And the other one that someone said is players who are famous players, but their dads were amazing. Like Paul Dalglish and Kenny Dalglish and people like that. And
Charlie Sheringham.
100%. He's a great example.
He was awful.
Your dad's good, therefore you got a contract. Well, no, you're terrible, mate.
That's literally how his whole career. But do you know what? Yeah. You know, if anyone's listening for the club, if you want to cheer people up, one of the best things ever, that never go, is a football tour away. When we went to Frankfurt, oh, mate, it was one of my best ever experiences of watching Wimbledon.
All right.
Ever.
Fine.
Football tour, pre-season tour abroad.
Should we just organise one and just see
if I'm telling you, right, we nearly got relegated the year that, well, everyone was so happy still. No one gave a shit because we went abroad in pre-season. Mate, it brought everyone closer. I'm telling you, everyone was going mental.
Well, let's see if the club are listening. But they are my football 101s. I might add to them as we go. If anyone's got any ones that are particularly burning issues, like maybe it's leaving the game 10 minutes early or buying a writing in a programme or whatever else it is, let us know. But they are my football
programme binders. They're a bit annoying, aren't they?
They're a bit pointless, really. I mean,
people love them.
I like the idea of a badge, and I think that's pretty cool. But
I love badges. I collect badges.
I know you're surprised.
I collect Wimbledon badges. What are you going to do about?
Any other lead that come up that you just feel like that particularly annoys you? I don't like third kits as an example. I don't see the point. It's hard enough spending 45, 50 quid on a shirt to wear it seven times. Also, wearing your away kit when you're at home. Or when you could wear your home kit, but you decide to wear your away kit. If you're playing a team that are playing in yellow, wear your blue kit.
It was marketing, mate. You've got to sell the kits.
No, we don't.
If you're not going to wear it, no one's going to buy it, are they?
Don't do it. Just have your red kit for away, blue kit for home.
You know, another one I hated was music when teams score.
Yes, that is annoying.
Yeah.
Why do you need to do that?
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree. Overzealous stewarding.
Stewards are a tricky one. Let's face it. If you're paid £8.50 an hour to stand in between,
so let people just do what they want. But that's what I mean. Just let people do what they want. You're not police.
Well, at Hunger Games, you just let them fight out to the end.
No, but it's when they get involved, they start pushing you back. When someone scores and you literally go forward and then you get just shoved by the steward, you're like, "What are you doing? I'm just celebrating, mate. I ain't going on the pitch.
Get off me, work experience, boy."
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Paid £8.50. Don't worry about it.
Hospitality. Scrap hospitality as well. Not a fan of it. Pointless.
Hospitality is...
Who literally wants to go to a football game and have a three-course meal beforehand, listening to some ex-Wimbledon player talk nonsense?
Listen to Trond Andersen. I mean, you don't need to know, do you?
Oh, I love Trond.
Hakan Mild. Is it remember him?
Yeah. Did he score his debut against Chelsea?
That's Andreas Lund.
That was Andreas Lund. That was it.
All you need is Lund.
We went 1-0 up and then we lost 3-1.
And we got really excited thinking we're going to stay up and this bloke would be amazing. And he was terrible.
You know who else we could put in room 101? Well, he's already put himself in it, but Roman Abramovich.
Oh.
Absolutely ruined football with the amount of money that he, dirty money that he put into it.
Has he ruined football?
Yes.
No. No, he hasn't ruined football.
He did, mate. It made it too expensive. Made it too much money involved in it. Paying players 100... People...
You're not saying that it wouldn't have happened 5 years later anyway?
You know another thing in Room 101? Wages. Footballers' wages are ridiculous. We pay too much now at Wimbledon. Right? We've got a really low budget.
I would agree with you on this.
People are earning 25 grand a week to play in League One. And they wonder why people don't like football anymore and think, oh, this is a load of bollocks. Because people get paid 25 grand driving around in Lamborghinis playing in League One.
Chuck out the European Super Cup in there, by the way. No one cares about the best team in Europe playing against the 48th best team in Europe. And for conference, that can also do one.
The new Champions League format.
That can do one.
It's horrendous. Yeah, if Wimbledon were in Europe, I'd love it, though.
But also, why does every team now have to have a kit sponsor, an energy sponsor, the sponsor who does the toilet paper?
Back of the neck sponsor.
And you know, have got DHL who are there. They're basically
the logistics
sponsor. Like, the logistics.
Well, DHL ain't the parcel for sponsor, are they? That's parcel.
No, but DHL are basically...
They're the logistics sponsor.
Fine. Well, why does every club need a logistic? What are you doing?
Probably because they post out quite a lot, so it's quite good
to
have.
Be daft. Yeah, but they're not getting... It's not like, oh, they're doing us a favour. You're just getting paid by a company. It's like getting like, right, our furniture sponsor is IKEA because it's just, what are we doing?
Unpopular opinion, Simon Jordan is very good on Talk Sport.
Is that are you putting him in 101?
No, I actually like him. He's very good.
Simon Jordan.
Yeah, even though he's a Palace mug.
Okay, Name one player or journalist right now that you'd put into the room 101.
Jim White. Can't stand him. Suck up Jim White. Oh,
what,
everyone.
Who was the transfer window bloke?
Oh, yeah, everyone's his friend. And he
Can I be honest with you? And it sounds really a real shame. I'm putting Chris Kamara in.
He ain't even on football anymore, is he?
He's done, isn't it? Bless him, Chris. Boom. Thanks for the oh, who got sent off thing.
Nah, but he was decent, but then they ruined Sky Sports Saturday, Soccer Saturday. They ruined it.
Yeah, mate, please, thank you. Close the door on the way out.
Right.
And, you know, have a chill out.
Send us your room 101s. What are you putting football 101s? Do you agree with me and Danny? Danny, literally, pointless ones, but yeah, Excuse me? There is. Yours. That's what it matters.
No, they're ours now. We've shared it on the podcast. They're officially ours.
When we come back, we'll be discussing the massive game against Lincoln.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the game against Lincoln on Saturday. I am not expecting much, Danny. I expect us to lose. I think Marcus will take the piss out of Will and he'll score a couple. Mad how Dan Soccer's our best centre-back now, isn't it?
Matt, really crazy. But he actually is, though.
Yeah, he is.
By quite a considerable margin. Like, yeah. I was gutted that Callenberg, was taken out of the mix for Soccer and Nightingale played. Whatever's happened to Nightingale after the injury, he's just absolutely not at the race.
Finished, isn't he?
Well, finished. Just lacks a yard, can't really pass. I like the combativeness of him, but he gets one more big injury and he ain't going to get another gig. And I just feel like we're kind of, he's at a crossroads, really.
If Robbo makes one more stupid substitution, and that's one thing we didn't
Okay, no, because I don't agree with this.
Well, Rodoni off for Paul Calabay.
Hey, I am not overly impressed with this one because both times they've taken Rodoni off, he has been terrible on that game. I'm
you
not
do
saying
not take attacking midfielder off and put a centre back on
playing pony
when you're 1-0 down.
They're changing
and also,
formation, Lee. They played wing backs. That's why we didn't know.
We didn't even have a shot when we changed formation.
Well, that's not his fault. At least he's tried to change the formation.
No, it's ridiculous.
Rodoni was dreadful at Wigan. He was absolutely terrible.
Maybe Lee, you reckon it was him that Lee Brown was talking about? You're not going to get your move, boy.
Possibly, but also, if you're going to put a forward on, the forwards are terrible. We've seen that. Terry Oblado, bless him. He's like Roadrunner. He just runs, isn't he?
Are you having Michael for Levy or Terry Oblady?
Jesse Darko, final answer.
But
Romain Rose, I'll take any of them.
If he makes any more stupid substitutions.
They're
also,
not stupid. Those
what's
are
with
not.
Us time wasting when we're losing the game? Against That's Wigan, silly. I was shouting at my screen. There was one point when the ball came over to Robbo and Rob Toovey and they just ignored the ball and they just let it go through them. And then the Wigan player took about an hour just to get the ball to come back. It's like we're losing 1-0. I'm just sitting there going mad. I just think against Lincoln, I think they're going to be clued up.
I think they should play Rodoni up top.
Not in a million years.
He played up top early in the season. I think it was Sheffield Wednesday. He's ultimately, think about what the job is though. The person up front is to get the ball, be creative, and bring other people into the game.
No.
I think Rodoni would do a good job.
No.
And I also, the reason why I say it, I'd rather Chislett at the moment was on the pitch than Cosgrove.
If the answer's Chislett, I don't want to know what the question is.
Well, what's the answer then? So you're playing Cosgrove on Saturday?
I play Cosgrove, but I think I'd go two up top again.
Right.
But I'd have a striker with him, an actual striker. I'd put Mabudi as a striker.
Oh, Lee.
As a striker.
Give up the ghost, mate.
But he's got pace. He can score a goal.
God, so's a whippet. You're not going to put a whippet up for are you?
Well, we do with Terry Oblade. That's all he is a whippet. Well, what's his name's back as well, isn't he, against the man who I said once will score 50 goals for Wimbledon.
Is that Robinson?
I don't even know how many scored Frampton. But
the thing that's weird, though, is that every week we talk about, is this the biggest game of the season? This is the biggest game of the season, etc. Well, of course this is now because we've been terrible. The question I've got to you is this, though. If we lose at Lincoln, it's going to be almost unbearable, isn't
it? It's not at Lincoln, though. It's at home.
Okay, well, if we lose against Lincoln
right.
at MPL,
That's another thing that goes in room 10. It's not New Plough Lane, it's Plough Lane.
It's
Plough Lane. Don't call it MPL or New Plough Lane. Plough Lane.
Stadiums, get lost. I'm not interested with a ground that changes every 2 weeks.
Anyway, it's Plough Lane, and that's it.
Well, it's New Plough Lane, but yeah.
It's not New Plough Lane, it's Plough Lane.
Well, back to Plough Lane. Back to the New Plough Lane.
Anyway, go on.
Well, I've forgotten what I was saying now, because you're rudely interrupting me with your bloody changing the team situation.
If we lose to Lincoln on Saturday, right, it's going to be very, very toxic, and this civil war that Charlie said is never happening, I think there'll be people having a go at each other at the game because people are just fed up. And if we lose, is that the end of our management team?
Well, that was a question I was going to ask you. And my answer is no. But what does
he have to do to get sacked seriously? 17 games without a win. And I'm not even saying if we draw on Saturday. If we lose and we don't score again, come on, Dan, it's ridiculous. What, we're going to do 20 games?
Lee, we have absolutely no money.
These 16, 17 games have got nothing to do with the budget, right? Because at the start of the season, we've shown what we could do with the budget.
Correct.
We have,
but what does matter with the budget is who you're going to get, because you need to pay the mole manager off and you need to get the manager in. And that is to do with the budget, and we don't have any money.
Who are we going to get?
We're not going to get anybody because we haven't got any money.
The only problem is if Robbo does go, Darius Charles probably takes over.
100%. That's exactly what happens. Or Ashley Bayes.
But then maybe Darius Charles starts earning his crust then, doesn't he?
Oh, jeez.
Get Steve Salas in. Maybe Robbo's not been texting him, and that's why he's close to losing his job. But anyway.
However, I don't think we're going to lose on Saturday. No. I'm stupidly feeling like we're going to do okay. What I would say is that Lincoln have been in a relatively poor run themselves.
Well, I know they've got Marcus the other day. Front,
which you'd always feel like would do a job. But I do feel we're bizarrely playing Lincoln at the right time. And that if buts and wins, if we beat Lincoln for whatever reason, we bring Lincoln right back towards us and we open the game up. And I think that how deflating would it be for the teams under us if they were like, oh my God, Wimbledon had 17 games, hadn't won. They've now started winning and we can't catch up with them. I think if we won on Saturday, it would be, I don't know who we've got after, to be honest.
You are in the cult of Robbo, aren't you?
I'm not in the cult of Robbo at all. I'm just saying that.
10 games ago, Robbo said, once we get one win, we'll go on a run.
Well, we haven't had a win yet, have we? So I'm believing that Saturday could be it.
We lose 2-0 Saturday.
Why do you have to do that? We had a really nice episode.
Because it's my personal opinion.
We spoke before the episode and we said we'd try to be a bit more positive. The 101 was great banter. I even saw you smile for the first time in a month. And now look at us. We're back down to 2-0.
I'm still happy. I'm not letting it get to me anymore. It is what it is.
I don't think we're going to lose 2-0 against Lincoln at all. I just cannot see us winning a game of football. I don't see us being in a position where we're going to play well enough in both halves of the pitch to win the game. So again, I'm going to go for a 1-1.
Oh, glad you're not in the marketing team. Freaking hell. What? Come to Wimbledon. I just can't see us winning a game.
Well, it's like you. Come to Wimbledon. We're going to lose 2-0. We're going to get relegated.
Because at the moment, we should be selling out Plough Lane. Chelsea can't sell any tickets. So come Plough Lane. You won't watch us win. You won't watch us score. You won't even watch us have a shot.
But we do amazing food. You can have a good chicken pakora.
But yeah, we sell hipster food.
You can get 8 different types of pizza on 3 different types of crust.
Well, and yeah, I just can't wait for all the stuff before the game, all the videos.
It'll be interesting.
Focused.
It will be interesting on whether he goes for somebody like Osu over Alexander. It will be interesting to see whether players who are 50-50 come back. But what is the most importantly interesting is that Robbo said enough's enough. He's given people a chance to do stuff and he's going to make changes. Let's see what he does.
16 games in.
Let's see if he does it now.
We've been going on about it for the last 16 games, mate. I've changed formations a couple of times, and I should be, mate. If Robbo goes, get me in charge.
No, thank you. You're too negative.
I'm not. No, I would. I'd be.
Besides,
I'd be
you don't think anyone should have any bloody stewards at the football.
No, I do. I just don't think stewards should be overzealous in the way they act.
Right, I'm just trying to find out who we've got after that. Cheltenham away. Oh Jesus! Yeah, I'm on a stag do then. Cheltenham away, and then Cheltenham at home.
Well, that's going to be fun. Cheltenham are going to just come.
They're three winnable games. Charlton are absolutely shocking. Charlton
are just coming to smash the gaff up after they got embarrassed at London Bridge.
That is true.
That's going to be scary for some Wimbledon fans. And it would be good of Charlton to come out of that shadow of theirs because they're cold in the Palace. And
you're saying it's going to be 2-0 to Lincoln. Is that correct?
Yes. Marquis with both. And he'll cup his ears to you in the South Stand. And you're going to go middle. And he ain't even going to have Marquis on his shirt. He's going to have his nickname.
Big John. Big Mark. And he'll do a knee slide and he'll get caught in the turf, yeah? And fall arse over tit.
Yeah, and then he's going to go and eat a pucker pie. What are they? They're like hipster pies, aren't they, at Wimbledon?
Gastro pie.
He'll
hit the ball away occasionally.
That's what you want when you go football, isn't it? Oh, yeah. You know what I really fancy? A gastro pie. No, I just want a cheap, dirty burger.
A pie, or a Pepsi.
Yeah.
Or a Penguin.
But yeah. Hopefully.
I think we're going to be 1-1. I'll be interested to see the way that he kind of shapes up. It'd be interesting to see if he's decided enough's enough and he's going to change it all up. But
what do you mean enough is enough? Enough and enough was about 10 games ago.
I know, but it'll be interesting whether he thinks it's enough or not, whether the process conversation is now ended.
Also, another thing.
Four up from.
Rob Toovey has the earpiece in, doesn't he? Do you reckon he's actually just listening to music?
No, he's got an Uber. He's an Uber driver. He just picked up.
Have you seen? He wears it and he wears the old...
He's like Nathan Barley, the old Channel 4 thing.
Yeah, do you reckon he's just got like Radio 1 on the go or something? Or he's listening to Radio X.
Got Mr. Jam on.
Oasis. Listening to Oasis. And then Robbo's like...
He's apparently learning a different language on it.
Yeah, what's it called?
Rosetta Stone. Linguaphone.
That's when we signed some decent Brazilians.
Yeah, that's it. All of them do it.
Right. Danny, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thanks for coming on despite your horrendous COVID. It's lovely to be back. And if anybody wants to come on and talk about their Room 101s or celebrate the amazing win against Lincoln next week, get in touch. We'd love to speak to you.
Yeah. Anything that needs to be changed at the club, get in contact. Come on. Me and Danny will listen, disagree, and we'll do what we want like
and
we normally do.
I'm right at the end of the
day. Danny, thanks very much, mate.
Come on, you Dons.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.